Sure.
So.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I printed off some.
No, I sent it. No, I just turned it over.
I did, sorry. I'm trying to make sure you don't.
I'm gonna call.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm gonna call this meeting to order. Thursday, May 18th, 2023, 6 p.m. Roll call, please.
Yes, Diedrich?
Here.
Wait, hold on a second. We gotta get the Zoom up.
Oh.
My bad. That was my fault, guys. I'm so sorry.
Okay, yes. Diedrich?
Here.
Jamanovic?
Here.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Lane?
Here.
Forrestal is absent. Wilberg?
Here.
And Ayala?
Here.
Thank you.
Introduce guests, city officials. So, do you want to introduce yourself to our visitors, I guess?
I can, if you'd like. I'm Shay Remus. I'm the superintendent of recreation here at the city of Yorkville.
I'm Alderman Cope. I'm part of our liaison.
And then Tim. Tim, introduce yourself.
Tim Evans, City of Yorkville.
Any public comments?
It's pretty. Oh,
okay. Is that the?
Go ahead. Then go to the dog park.
Dog park?
Yeah, just a presentation.
Presentation of the dog park.
Yes. All right. So everyone understands, this is Eric McRoberts. I believe that's your wife.
Yes.
Yes. We just briefly met. They attended a city council meeting probably almost 2 months now, where they had spoken to the council about wanting to assist in potentially putting a dog park in the city of Yorkville. So I did put in the packet kind of his email to me. And then I also, earlier today, he had emailed a more detailed presentation that I had sent to all the park board members. So if Eric wants to go from there, he can kind of explain what he's looking to do and how we can potentially assist with that. So,
okay. Should I take the front of the class? Or?
Yeah,
do
I think the front is better. Yeah,
sure. Are you coming here?
Go ahead.
You are here. Just look. All right, well, good afternoon, evening. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity for being here. My wife and I are residents of Yorkville, just shy of 2 years. And we're very interested in getting involved in a lot of things here. Today, our purpose, we want to introduce our vision of a dog park in the area here, and to see if Parks and Rec was interested in collaborating on the idea with us. You know, so we're gonna pitch what our vision is, and then I guess see what your input is, if it's something that you wanna work with, modify, shoot down, whatever, then we know how to move forward. So over the past few years, lease laws have become more restrictive. COVID's caused an influx of pets in general. Many concerned dog owners have started using dog parks as a place to spend quality time with their dogs and socialize with others. A few benefits of the dog park are to allow most dogs who may not have ample room to roam at home to get out and stretch their legs and frolic. They also get the opportunity to socialize, which also promotes the side benefit of their owners getting out to stretch their legs and frolic a bit too, with people from their immediate and neighboring communities. So we're proposing such a concept to be opened here in the community where we reside. It's an opportunity to leverage Yorkville's existing resources. We're envisioning a growth to do much more to make this space the jewel of the community. In addition to a fenced, secured outdoor area, we would like to introduce and establish an indoor space also, so that dogs and their owners can have a place to go all year, year round. Outdoor parks are great if the weather is good, but when it's not, indoor parks do allow dogs and their owners to socialize in a climate-controlled, safe environment. We're also interested in building the area out to offer general education classes, dog training classes, pet-related vendors, and maybe even sponsor some special events like the Westminster Dog Show or something like that, bring that to the area. So just in general, the concept that we had was a large plot of land, an area outside. I don't know if you're familiar with Oswego just opened up a dog park last year. Just nice, kind of basic, at least in my vision of things. You know, it has a small dog area. It has a large dog area, and a little small place for the dogs to crawl. I think it's a little piece of equipment that they can jump on and everything. So I kind of wanted that to be like the basis of the exterior part, which may be the initial part, depending on how, you know, funding and things like that go. You know, but I also wanted to kind of build it up where it's kind of like a little pathway or walkway as well. Put some flowers and scenery, even the water feature, to make it aesthetically appealing when you're out walking your dog. You know, a couple benches and things like that that you can sit, socialize, and meet the neighbors. And then, also, we have an indoor area. Still kind of sketching it out, trying to get a feel for things. But I'm thinking like maybe a large pole barn, picture a large pole barn. And you can go inside. The center of it has like a walking path where you walk around with your dogs. On the outside of the oval, on the inside, you can go in. That'll be an area for like free play, free roam. They can run around. And then on the side, maybe have like four or five like offices, but there'll be like vendor booths. You know, in this way, it can promote the local residents and give them a place to maybe propose and show things that they work on at home. You know, I make handmade dog leashes or straps for the dogs, or I make homemade natural treats and goodies. You know, this gives them a place where they can set up very inexpensively, you know, and have a booth that they can sit there, and when people come to walk their dogs, they can, you know, pass out cards or you know, explain what their product is, you know, give them exposure that they may not have had, you know, whether they haven't reached the level yet to maybe afford a traditional commercial space or whatnot. This is all going to be based as part of, we run a nonprofit organization. We wanted this to be a division of that. So while profitable, it's going to be under the guise of nonprofit, meaning everything that we raise would go back into the business, building up this for the community. You know, the vendor part and everything also helps to bring revenue, sales tax and everything, to the community as well. So it's just not a piece of land that's just, you know, sitting there being utilized and maintained, you know, and eventually going into a deficit financially. Hopefully it can maintain itself as well as bring value to the community. So that's it in a nutshell. If there's any questions, I can expound on more speaking.
Go ahead first.
Is there a city or a place around here that's doing what you're describing and that you've looked at and said this is a best-in-class example of what we might want to do here?
I have looked, and I have not seen something similar, at least not in this immediate area. Everything that I've seen has been outdoor-based. It's been pretty much outdoor-based. you know, a couple of different play areas, you know, some seating.
Okay, I'll reframe my question. Of the outdoor-based variety, what's the best-in-class example around here?
I like Oswego example. There is a, I think it has a Sugar Grove address. I think, what is it, Stewart?
It's the Stewart Sports Complex.
Yes. And I like their concept because it's kind of more intertwined into sports fields and things like that, so it really gives that area a sense of community, more so than just you're at the dog park, you know, you're walking your dog, and you can see, you know, the youth softball over here, you know, so while maybe your son or daughter is over here, you know, you can walk the dog and, you know, kill multiple birds at the same time. So I do like their logistical, you know, location. I like that. You know, but I just believe that there can just be so much more than just a place to take your dog. You know, that can be appreciated. Yes.
Okay, I'm a dog lover. I was a dog owner, so I just had my son's dog the other day. Why are you coming to us? Why don't you just build it yourself? What do you need us for? And what's the benefit to us? I mean, this is your enterprise.
Yes.
Even though it's public, I mean, why are you coming to us? Why don't you just build it?
Well, I wanted to come under the nonprofit thing, first of all. I wanted to see, really, is there some land that could be...
So you don't have the land either. We're going to give you the land?
That's what I wanted to see.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not being disrespectful to you. I'm a dog
owner. No.
I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't understand what the cost to us is.
I'm
not trying to be critical.
Is you're looking for potentially the city to donate you guys the land.
Right. Either donate, or if you have some land that that you may not just want to keep maintaining that heavily, that you might want to lease to us and as a lease to buy type thing. You know, for us, I think that would be a little bit easier entryway or segue into getting this started, rather than just buying some land and making that major investment of buying a property and then building on the property. You know, we had some kind of partnership, you know, to go in the beginning.
Or like at Beecher, where we have athletic fields, you can put dog parks somewhere in that same yard. But then you have a walking path.
Look, I understand that. I'm not saying that. This looks to me like a private investment that wants our land. That's what I'm saying. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Coming from, and
I
we're not making any decisions.
No, I'm just saying that's the way it's so to me.
The one thing I like about it is it's unique in the sense of a dog park can be, you know, a lot to maintain for the Parks and Rec Department, in the sense of it's not just like a typical playground. Dogs are going to be a little more physical, fencing, stuff like that. You've got to then also keep up with dogs having all their shots, coming in, getting permitting, things like that. This is kind of a unique public-private partnership that it'd be worth looking into and having some discussions, per se, to see is this something we could make work to where, you know, if land was available, where, you know, not only you're donating land to them, but, like, I mean, now we're taking some of this other stuff that really wouldn't be then on the Parks and Rec staff's plate. It could be on the nonprofit's plate, but still providing this service to the community. So I'm not saying it's the right or wrong answer. I'm just saying that unique proposal.
There's a lot of people that have dogs. Where I live, and there's a lot of land. I mean, people are walking their dogs. It's not like at the city of Chicago or something where you have to do it. People are walking their dogs all over. They have big yards. I mean, I don't know if people would use it that much. I really don't.
We take our dog to the Stewart Sport Complex, and building off of what you had said, you're going to take on, once the facility is built, let's say we move forward with this, you're going to take on, or your organization will take on the maintenance?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't know if anyone's been to the dog park at Stewart, but it's like you have to wear boots even when it's dry, just because it's muddy. Like, they tear up the grass so much, you know?
Yes.
So are you, have you worked with dog parks before? Do you have experience in just like park maintenance, like sodding grass, all the work and maintenance that goes into maintaining a park?
No, as far as a park, no.
Okay.
I have done residential and commercial rehab and development, so I am familiar with, siding and getting a property, up and being maintained as well. Not on the grand scope of a park district. That's where, I have contacts and work on getting contacts, to help with that. And then working with the park district, hopefully, or even if it's a private venture, still having the park district as an avenue to say, hey, we have these 5 acres and, who do you use or what do you use? What's the best fertilizer for the strongest grass that could withstand, this type of traffic? There's a few companies that we've used before just on the personal side that we've talked to that would love to get the business. They come out to your home and pick up the poop and the waste.
Of course.
One of them is Scoopers. That's who we use now, Scoopers.
I have a few more questions.
Sure.
And again, I'm not trying to be, come on. So if we give you the land or lease you the land, what's it going to cost us plus that? There's got to be some cost to it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. What was the cost? What do we have to pay for you for this?
I think all of it, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This is so just in the beginning.
Okay, I understand.
There's been no.
I have a lot of questions with this, though. Because I'm
meeting Eric in his life at a city council meeting and a couple emails. There's
this
been very little.
The facility in Oswego.
Yeah, it gives an idea. I put in there what Oswego spent in the memo. So to kind of give you an idea that, they spent $119,000 on theirs. Obviously, they had the land.
But Oswego's got money up.
Well, but so, and then they have in theirs where you pay like a yearly fee, and that's probably like how his business model would be too, and stuff like that. So, I thought one as a resident, you should come and speak to the park board.
I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just saying there's a lot of questions that have to be answered.
When I initially spoke with them and then what he proposed, I was kind of like, this is very unique, and it's not unusual. We're doing that right now with the church, where they're donating land potentially for us putting a playground in. We have some businesses in the downtown area like the ice cream shop and Ginger and Soul. Some of the board members here, but when the pandemic started, we'll talk about more tonight, like a band stage in the downtown area. So it's not completely unusual that we've done some kind of public-private partnership. And I just thought this was a unique thing. I think it should at least give us a chance to talk about it. I think what you're talking about is, that's even a separate issue, is does the board want to even do a dog park? That's one separate issue. And then if you do want to provide something like that to the community, are you guys even interested in having a dog park amenity? That's one question.
I don't think we have enough information to make any kind of...
We're not making any decisions.
But didn't we have a discussion one time maybe over at the park?
Is this a money maker? A money
railroad track?
I don't know. Then also is, if we want the dog park, maybe not now, but in the future, would this be an avenue we would be interested in?
It could be an avenue, depending upon all the specifics.
Something like this could kind of spur this to get going, is that, hey, here's a resident, here's a nonprofit, this may be something we could be doing sooner than we would do on our own. Obviously through their nonprofit, they're going to be able to help fundraise and maybe get this up faster than we would be able to get it going. And, there is a huge advantage of the maintenance of all I'm in, but you're still offering a pretty unique thing to the community.
I can't speak for the group, but it makes a ton of sense to me.
There's no decision. I don't think there was just here. I wanted to make sure everyone got to meet him. He brought it to us.
I lived in Naperville. I've been here maybe 8 or 9 years. I lived in Naperville 35 years. And the dog parks there are a wild success, but they don't look anything like what you do. They're not bluegrass. These look more like prairie, and they're large, large areas where dogs can really run. And what I like about them is people make new people friends there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of that goes on. I mean, that's where people gather on a Saturday. They come with their coffee mug and their dog, and it's just a great thing.
Yes.
But it doesn't. I mean, they're not out picking up poop and maintaining bluegrass. This is a. Go see it. Go to Naperville. The area is the area behind Costco. Yeah, big, big area. I don't know. This could be a 30, 40 acre. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it's also mixed with their bike trail and right. a few other things like that. But anyway.
Now, I've been to a few of them, too, one in Park Ridge and one up north of the 294. It's a huge area. I take my dog there all the time. And you walk it. It might be 10, 15 acres and nothing fancy. You just go in there. There's nobody. You're going to pick up poop or anything because it's a forest type of thing. So I'm not familiar with that. So maybe if you can,
I just want to present it to you. Yeah. I think, still, even after this, I would probably still have continued discussions at some point, kind of like with the stage. They're going to really talk to the council to say, council, asked, are you interested in this?
When they came to council, kind of thought the right spot to start with would
yes.
be Park Board, and that would be the right avenue to start with.
Right. Right.
Also, if you remember, my Park Board days around, 2008, we had specced out the property over by Fox Hill. There's a park, we had some park property. It wasn't ideal for playgrounds, stuff, that kind of activity. I know at one time, but then I think we didn't have the money at the time, that kind of stuff to do it, so.
I thought we were looking at that park on Van Emmon over there. Is that the Van Emmon over by the train tracks over there?
I mean, there's various things to
I mean,
look
I
at.
Thought that was someplace where we were going to put a dog park.
But I would think that those kind of details would come further on down
oh,
the
yeah,
track.
Absolutely.
Right. So I believe I could probably hone in more on budget and numbers with the better understanding of the scope.
Correct.
You know, if the vendor said, okay, we're game to work with you, we have a 3-acre parcel, then I can take that and I can kind of hone in, plot it out and see where things would go and put a cost around that. Or if you said we have a 15, 20 acre piece that, sits kind of on the outskirts or, it's hard to maintain, we're willing to work on that. Then I could probably scale something out more like something that you said that's a little bit more, has more room to roam.
I'm not saying right or wrong, but just different approaches. When
yes.
I look at this one,
yes.
I see a building, I see a split rail fence, I see mm-hmm. grass that looks better than my front yard.
And that's how Oswego goes.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, I understand what you were saying, Tim. It's just the first presentation. Mm-hmm.
I think I would also go to like the American Kennel Club and ask them for guidance. They've probably helped cities do this, some animal group, dog group.
Yes.
Yeah, soak up all that information, put together a value statement, and come back, mm-hmm. and we'll talk.
Yeah.
Am I done?
No, it's just basically, it is very important to, for you as an organization, mm-hmm. to actually, I mean, you know also your limits, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I try.
Right, so, so knowing your limits, just kind of, prepare an initial project the way you would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you have it the way you would like to see it, then we can have a much better, perception of what's needed. You may have a better perception if there is no, we cannot go in that direction because there is no land, or yes, there is potentially, if you reduce it in half or things like that, and then we can have a much better
sure.
perception of what it is. But, if we're talking about, like they say, tons of acres, mm-hmm. then you as your organization, you may say, no, we cannot handle that,
yes.
right?
Correct.
And so you have a certain boundary,
mm-hmm.
and you need to present that boundary to us to say, or first to the city, I don't know, I mean, in terms of,
yeah,
or to Tim, mm-hmm. in terms of, no, this scope is way too big for us, and then you will have to reduce it and then scope it,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think for me, before I can say, yeah, this is great, which I think it is because, I mean, it can be very good for the city, I mean, that's fine, but to say it is feasible, you can't until you scope it a little bit more, and then Tim says, yeah, this is feasible.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what I'll continue to do is I'll continue to have conversations with Eric, probably similar to the band stage. At some point, we will probably have him come and talk to the council. I mean, the council is, before we get too far along, I don't want him and his wife wasting a lot of time if the council is like, we have no interest in this. So at some point, like the van stage, we'll need the council to kind of sit in and say, hey, yes, keep continuing to have discussions and see where it goes. And then we can see what happened. So I just wanted to make sure he had a chance to introduce himself, introduce what they're talking about, and then behind the scenes, I can continue to talk with him, and we can kind of come back here in another meeting or two here and have more details for you.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you all for the opportunity. If you had any other questions for now, or
I don't know if we're to hear any more.
For the board. What's your relationship with the Forest Reserve? I believe Silver Spring, does it back up to Yorkville, or is it in Yorkville?
Silver Springs is a state park.
It's a state park.
So that's separate, and then the Forest Preserve is separate from
Hoover is city. A Kendall County.
So, I mean, there is Crawford Park, which is kind of along the river on the southwest side of town.
Okay.
It does run into Hoover. So there's like a pathway that goes along the river. It does run into Hoover right there.
Okay.
So that's really how we would connect to Hoover in some way, if it's a boundary. I mean, most of it's homes that back up to it, but I mean, we do have a little bit of park lane that runs into the Hoover Park. So in general, our relationship, I mean, it's, we work with them when, we don't work with them a whole lot. I mean, if situations come up with the county and things like that, we do work with them, but not on a regular basis.
Well, these are great initiatives coming from people of the city, and this is really what we would like to see, too.
Yeah. Thank you. We can come up with more PE more, too.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your entertainment.
So we need to approve the minutes. Do you guys want to review those, or have you reviewed those? And then once that's complete, I need somebody to motion to approve the minutes.
I read them, so I approve. I have motion to approve.
Second. I'll second you guys. Go ahead.
Second.
Okay.
You need a vote?
Yes. Dumanovic?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Lane?
Here. Yes.
Wilberg?
Yes.
Ayala?
Yes.
And Diedrich?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, just on the minutes, I did want to bring up at the last meeting, we had the Rain Tree HOA came in about putting signs up. I think I emailed everyone on the board that we did get those signs put up. I know Tiffany, that was something important to her. But that was kind of the president that came to the last meeting. I just want to make sure everyone understood we did get that done.
They're all happy with it, are they?
From my understanding, yes. You know, we put up not just the main signs, but also some rural signs. I know they were concerned about that as well. So we bought some new ones and sent it to everyone.
You guys review the bills?
So I have quite a few bills. Most of it, obviously, you know, you go back from January, it's basketball, getting ready for spring sports, soccer, baseball.
Hey, we even buy equipment, too, don't we? Do we buy any equipment?
Yes.
Yeah, so that should be.
So, yes, I mean, the sports equipment, yes, we buy.
No, I mean, any trucks or things like that, do we buy?
So, on last year's budget, I believe we bought 4 trucks. The fiscal year goes from May 1st through April.
Right, so
last year were 4 trucks. This year, the new one just went into effect May 1st. We purchased 1 new truck and 2 new lawnmowers.
Right, that's about the major, that's the most.
Yes, I mean, what we're trying to do is I mean, most of our trucks are 20 years old. trying to get caught up what we can right now while the city budget's in good shape and make sure that we have a good running fleet. Okay. That can handle 300 acres of mowing and 30 park sites, 28 playgrounds. So those are the big, large purchases, but also within the budget, a lot of it is on the website, sports related, things like that.
Yeah, which is normal.
So we have approved the bills.
I need a motion to approve the bills. Right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have
it. You did.
Those are approved.
They've always been paid.
Old business, Tim? Old business.
I was going to just pull up here the budget report.
There's like around two.
Is there a possibility to kind of get from the agenda, in the middle of the agenda, we have all these numbers. Can that be put into an appendix so that we can go through the items that we really are interested in?
Is that a possibility to move the bill to the end? So,
oh, you want to move it on the agenda?
Or just like move
no,
it
no,
like
no,
in
no, not on the agenda. Put all the numbers as an appendix, as an addendum.
First and then have the
so when you print it out, you can just print 1 through 20 instead of having to go 1 through 10.
Yes. Let me talk. Yes. I mean,
but isn't the problem that all the bills are there and you just have to highlight our bills?
Yes.
You know,
so that's
one. You get the entire city's bills.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I know.
And that's
the
point.
But
I don't know if they can take them out.
It. I'll ask because our clerk's office puts this together. I'll ask them to move the bills list later on the agenda. So then when they put the, like Shay and I just send memos and everything to them, they put the packet together per se. I'll just ask them if they can change the order on the agenda so the bills will be farther down. Is that what you're asking for?
No.
Yes, it really, really, because I mean, when I'm reading it, I mean, it takes me literally a lot of time to just try.
And a lot of them, they're highlighting yellow. They're the Parks and Rec.
And I know that. Yeah. So, but it will be much more helpful at the very end. And I just look for the yellows.
Yeah.
And
I can work on that.
Oh, yeah,
you can get to the meat in the beginning and then scroll through.
I just have to mention Tim, and Tim knows me about this. That was my issue too. The bills are already paid. You can look at them as you want and criticize them, but the bills are already paid.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't spend much time on the bills anymore, right, Tim?
Because no, but I mean, you know,
they're already paid.
If you guys saw something on there,
that's the point. Yeah. We have to look and ask you, why did you spend $60,000 for the truck? Yeah. You could have got it for $56,000.
Yeah.
But to me, as I said before, you know, I've been here a while. I don't look at the bills much anymore because it's already done. It's out of the barn already.
No, so, I understand that, but I mean, it still gives you ability if there was something you
no, I understand
could either come to me, or you could turn around and say to Ken, like,
I
you go to your council member or the mayor and be like, I'm not
I understand that,
purchase.
But you remember when I first came on, you used to have two meetings a month, remember, one was Bill's meeting, the other one, and I'm like, why are we at the Bill's meeting? Because Bill's already paid.
I get it.
So, I mean, it's kind of it's a nice thing to look at, but you used to look at me every time, Dan, just look at the bills, what is it? I don't look anymore, because it's already been paid.
Yeah, but it's somewhat the council.
Doing
it's the same way. I mean, unless it's over $20,000, they approve the budget. If it's under 20,
right?
They're getting
that,
the same kind of.
But there's got to be a trust. And
yes,
by trust.
Okay. And ultimately, you could hold me accountable for anything is that you didn't like. You would then go to, you know, Ken as our liaison and say, hey, I think this was.
Theoretically, I understand.
Yep.
And it's
I just had a quick question. There was one line that I saw that I just wanted to ask.
Sure.
For example, like. In the common sense perspective budget, there was a line about home touching.
Yes.
And it had a dollar amount, about 136% of budget.
Yes.
Is that okay? Is it in a safe zone? I just,
we spent
so,
more education.
Yeah, so basically, Hometown Days is budgeted to break even. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
So it was $120,000.
Yep.
We collected.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm saying
we collected 165 this year. So obviously, bringing in that much revenue, your expenses are going to go up. And the big, real expense to Hometown Days is the carnival
and beer.
And there's a split there,
of course,
which is, I mean, significantly favors carnival or they wouldn't come. So that's going to force our expense line items to go up. So obviously, we knew that. I mean, Hometown Days made money.
Yeah.
This year, I think it made like $15,000.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, I mean, one, the weather was perfect all 4 days. We had huge crowds.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most revenue we've ever collected as well as the most expenses.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I just wanted to, when I saw that line, I was like, is that a bad thing? I didn't think so, but I just wanted to.
That was the ratio. If it would have been a bad day, a bad weekend, it could have
been. The ratio would be like 40%.
You know, gotcha.
So the ratio would be very low.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely a good thing. I mean, it is something that we have to monitor because we're only approved to spend so many in expenses totality for the whole year.
Yeah, right.
So if, like, say, Hometown Days 1 year did like $500,000, we would have to go back to the council and say, we need to have a budget amendment or we're going to exceed our yearly expenses because we've had to. Even if we made all the money and we'd come in as a profit at the end of the year, we would still be exceeding our approved limit.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for the explanation. Excellent.
This is actually not completely finalized, but April, our fiscal year ended. I think one thing I wanted to really, really highlight is athletics and fitness. Last year we brought in $327,000. This year we brought in $427,000, so we did $100,000 more.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's two things. One, obviously we're continuing to grow as a community.
Absolutely.
Baseball, softball, soccer, basketball is growing with it. So huge numbers are coming in there. We're also seeing in there is the new marketing person has really kind of kicked into gear now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about $20,000 or $25,000 in sponsorship revenue coming into, you know, we put out, if you've been out to the soccer fields, we've got, it'll have...
We have field sponsors now.
Yeah,
with banners.
So it'll have a big number one, field one, sponsored by.
Yes.
Right. If you've been out to Bridge, even though we've kind of got a collaboration with YYBSA out there, you see all three fields are signed. That's an example of where Caitlin and her marketing stuff not only helping us increase numbers and getting out better the word programs we're offering, but we're also now working the sponsorship side a lot better that we kind of just never had staff for and ignored.
And Jake brought in a new girls softball league that was previously ran by another town, so that ended up not coming together this year, so he decided to take that on, and that just exploded our numbers on just more girls are registering because we were able to play other towns, break up the teams into age divisions, as well as now that we're coordinating that, all of that revenue from those towns are coming in. So more money, maybe some more headaches, but overall better for everybody involved. So
at the end of the year, we were budgeted for a $95,000 deficit. I don't think this will quite come in at that, but we're around a $400,000 surplus right now. That's going to go down a little bit. There's some expenses to the preschool remodeling project that wasn't included, but we're going to have a pretty good surplus given back to the city. So, I mean, that's to Shay Scott, you know, really managing the budgets and maintaining all these things and keeping a watchful eye on it all.
Good job.
So, any questions on the budget?
No.
Okay.
New business riverfront project update.
So, there's kind of two things to this. One is we had discussed this a few years ago about the nonprofit coming in and wanting to put a stage down at Riverfront Park. And so they've actually, I don't know if everyone got to look at the agenda, but I put they made a presentation to the county a month or two ago where the county has some funds available and are interested in maybe participating in a partnership with the city, with this organization, putting a stage down there.
That's awesome.
So we did meet with the group. And one of the options we looked at as a stage was back in the east kind of riverfront area. So here's the parking lot. The ComEd station would be kind of over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when Yorktoberfest occurred, they had put the stage kind of right here and blocked off the whole parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that we're looking at is obviously we don't want to block the parking lot on a regular basis. Unless it's a very large event. So we had worked with the group about potentially putting a stage in the kind of grass area there, if everyone can picture that. And then they had an option too, was kind of like that design. Then the other thing was kind of, this was kind of what the stage would be that they're looking at. So
this is behind the power.
Yes.
It's on the very, very end.
Yeah, we had lunch or something.
Like where the scarecrow was.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So where would that be? You would take over some of those trees and knock them down? Is that the idea or not? Because all you have is a parking lot.
I don't know right now.
Well, Scott went in there and cleared out a bunch of trees.
Oh, I know. We ate lunch over there.
So I think it'll fit.
So you would have kind of a stage. This would be kind of the design. And then it would kind of be like this, where it could shoot out in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially... And then
kind of a yin and yang between having trees and having a place for a performance.
Yes.
Yeah. This is kind of
that looks together.
Like that. That's scale the size of where we, if it went through, of where it would, it would look like.
Because you got that little pavilion right there where we had lunch.
Yes.
And so you'd have to clear out some trees out there. Obviously.
Yeah. There would be a tremendous amount of. There's electrical that have to be
exactly right. Yeah. And where would the people's. Would they park in the parking lot then, or no?
I think a lot of this details
are finalized
now. I think depending on the size of the event.
The other place could not work.
Yeah, so depending on the size of event, if you had like the Oktoberfest, Summer Solstice, Riverfest, you're probably going to have to block the parking lot off. Mm-hmm. If it's a smaller thing where the school is just bringing a local band down, or a Y-Pack, or some other community events happening in it, you wouldn't want to block the parking lot off. You would want people to park as close as they can when they come in.
So they can basically bring their lawn chairs and sit down.
Well, I understand, but it will change the entire environment then. The environment is very nice now, you know, but again, that's the only spot we got, I suppose, right?
This is just the one that's being discussed right now. I'm just giving you guys updates. There's no decision that needs to be made today. I just want to make sure.
No, I understand.
That,
so that's the theory from there.
Yeah, that, I mean, until an agreement was done with a nonprofit, which will come back to the board, but this is kind of the direction they're going. You know, I know they have a meeting in the next week or two with the county again to try to secure some of the funding for this.
But that's not going to cost us anything then, rather than going to their own funding, right?
That is the plan.
But what about when they have to remove everything and do that stuff? Is that going to cost us money then, too?
I think the plan of the group is they'll help get it up, and then it's like, this is the city's.
Right, right.
So.
What it is.
But I wanted to make sure, that you kind of had an update on this and what was going on, if there was any questions or anything like that.
My quick observation, this is just knee-jerk, is it's a lot easier to find a place to put a stage and have parking than it is to replace the natural feeling of this small amount of riverfront that we have and the beautiful job that you've done to date. I'm just saying, we have a gem there, a gem there, and I'm there a lot, and I see people enjoying it, whether it's just walking on the chip trail or having a picnic or
fishing there today,
and if you take down more trees, then all of a sudden then you've got a lawn. Anyway, I'm just, you always want to hear my thoughts, so
no, it's you guys are the board. You guys can make the decision on this. I'm just presenting what the nonprofit is bringing to the table.
Do they insist on having that be the location?
I think my discussions with them is this would be preferable just because of the uniqueness of it with the river and stuff like that. I think they would be open to other ideas if we have them.
Is there a way to make, this is, you can say no, the pavilion that we already have, the existing pavilion, is there a way to change the structure of the roof so that it can be multi-use, like it can be used for concerts, and when there's not a concert going on, there's picnic tables in there? Does that make sense?
I mean, we would have to take it down if we do it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to just
take
it down.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You know what they have right there now?
That's what I mean.
That's not kind of what we're looking for. We're looking for a band show, like almost they put in Oswego.
Yes.
How big of an open area do they need for seating for this band show? Seating, not the band shells. How big? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're going to want something that can handle, where you would fill.
I mean, the one in Oswego is many, many, many times bigger.
Yes.
I don't know if that's right or wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to put something like this in the park, you're going to want something that a Summer Solstice, a Riverfest, your Oktoberfest can handle. In addition to, most of the things where I would envision, you're going to have people park here and they're just going to sit in here and watch it.
Sure.
But you are going to have 3 or 4 times a year where this whole thing would be locked off.
And there's the concert area right on the river by Wabanzi in Aurora, the concert, the tiered. And I know that you can actually walk quite far down the river and still hear the music, so people listen to the concerts, but they don't necessarily have to be right on top of it. So I think they'll probably spread out quite a bit.
Now, if it exists in shelter, how big is that one? The shelter in front of where they watch the show. So like 10x10.
Oh yeah, that's 10x10.
Do they want to move that?
It'll have to get moved.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's
that's
the Gaga pit. There we have to certain things would have to be moved to make this work. I mean, one, you're going to want the seating and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, like I think Gene said, that'll change the entire flavor of that area. And that's only there concerts during the good weather. So you're not going to have concerts in the wintertime. So, I mean, it's something you're giving up one thing for another thing. It's a double-edged sword. It's good, but then again, it's not good. Because we were there today. We go there every week and have lunch.
Sure.
I'm not trying to say we're trying to ruin our lunch. But I'm just saying, you saw many people walking around with dogs, fishing over there. You guys were there. There were like 10 or 12 cars in the parking lot. People enjoy that area after the Bay look wonderful as it is. And that it's a shame that you can't put on the other side because of the
sure.
You know,
but if they move it forward, basically, but then you're going to take your lawn space away.
But then again, you're going to see the back of it. You're going to have to go behind it.
I think there'll be
a wall or a.
I think one of the things we can do that too is if they get this funding secure from the county, is they can come back and have.
Sure.
I have no problem discussing with you guys on it. I just wanted to keep you updated of what's happening. I mean,
were they ever thinking, Tim, of some other place, though? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, like, you know how Oswego's is in the middle of that field there, which is kind of.
I think it's always been Riverfront.
Yeah.
Is it because of downtown area?
I think it's just the uniqueness of it and the success.
Oh, I love the Riverfront. I think I'm just.
So I think that's always been it. I think there's also healthy businesses. You know, when you have events down there, people will go have dinner, go to music, or vice versa.
Well, you know, just having the park, the new park there brings a lot of people there year round.
So I think it is.
So.
Real quick, what about expanding our view of what is the riverfront? If you take that riverfront trail, take it under the bridge, connect to the other side of 47 to make a pleasant place for families to, and then, but I don't know that space, you know, where our current building is, knock that, you know, put a band shell over there. I can't envision all the thing, but there's a parking lot, there's the boat landing, you know, I'm just saying there's...
You know where our old place is over the post office?
Excuse me?
For the post offices, the old building.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, envision the riverfront before you decide where you want to put this. And envision how big it needs to be, because, boy, it's going to be a big hit, because I've gone to enough things and checked enough IDs. No, we will get a lot of people to come, we'll get more. The worst thing would be all of a sudden, we don't have room. We got the band going here, and no place for people to sit, or no place to park their car. And then how does this all connect in with the redevelopment of the land by the railroad tracks? I'll be back in Poxies. Yes, sure. Across the street from Poxies. You know, it's almost like you need a little of a master to say this is how it's all going to work, because it has the possibility of really being cool.
Sure.
A river, you know, then you got all these restaurants and cool shops and stuff like that. I'm very bullish about all that, yep. But it requires some thinking. And I'm not saying we haven't, but it, you know, it's just it's an interesting thing.
So, okay. As we get more information, I just want to keep you updated on this portion of it. Any other questions?
But that's a very good thought. I mean, that I just want to take away. I mean, if you, it's like you really need a much broader vision of the entire section there, that if you just leave it like that, it's still kind of potentially narrow, because you have all that space, I mean, all across, and which could be very nicely developed. And
sure. I will make sure to pass along as a group your concerns. And like I said, this is not anywhere we're taking a vote. They haven't secured the funding. This is just kind of a continuation of the discussion we had. I know some of you were on the board when they came to us a couple of years ago. Things seem to be moving a little bit now, especially if they can secure this funding from the county.
No, it's nice. I mean,
there's still going to be issues to work out. There's going to be opportunities for the rest of the public, you know, especially those that live in the area, to you know, be able to speak on this. Okay.
Great.
Second part
all good stuff.
The Riverfront project is so if you've been down there, one of the things we really noticed lately is the bricks are really starting to buckle. Mm-hmm. Some are starting to break apart, some are starting to be a real problem, a walking hazard. Mm-hmm. It's definitely when it rains, it causes a major flooding hazard in here. So as part of the fiscal year 24 budget, we have proposed some money to kind of fix this area up. Mm-hmm. And really it would be taking out the brick, it would be replacing it with the concrete. We would keep all of the bricks that people had years ago purchased, right, that had their names on it. We'd be creating an area kind of behind the flagpoles and the fountain area for that. But a lot of the bricks, like I said, if you walk up and down there, it's really becoming a little bit of a hazard.
Tim, are you talking about the pink area or the blue area?
Well, you'd have the whole area. Okay. Like, what happened is like we would do it in sections. Obviously, we
everything
don't.
In color.
We wouldn't want to block the park off. You know, you have you can't really do this in the dead of winter. So it would be something where, you know, Scott and staff would want to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. So he just color coded to say those areas would be blocked off for a given time while they're working on the project, and they would move on to the other. So, hey, I just wanted to bring you this up. I mean, this is something that we'll definitely be taking to the city council just due to the nature of this project. But I just want to make sure I brought it to the board first. That I think the brick thing is definitely something we have to look at. Like I said, if you walk around there, some are starting to poke up. The tripping hazard, and really we're just causing some flooding problems in that blue area more and more. You know, we get any heavy rain, it just does not, it's just kind of all pools right there around the water fountain.
Yeah, that is such a wonderful area. We are so lucky to have that there.
Correct.
A lot of places don't have it. We should really take care of it and
yep.
And do it. I mean,
and especially now with the bridge done.
Yeah, people love it.
You know, we didn't want to do it until they got done just because
correct. Yeah.
We would let them destroy the brick. We would let them destroy the concrete as they were moving stuff around.
When would construction begin?
I mean, a lot of that's going to just, by the time we go to council, secure some of the materials, things like that. I mean, ideally, you've got summer solstice to your Oktoberfest where there's an opening to get some of this done.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can do it this year that quickly.
Okay.
So, I mean, if we can get some of it started potentially, if not, you'd be looking at next year. And some of it's also going to determine by the time we get approved. We ordered 3 playgrounds last year. When do they show up?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just going to be a priority and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would definitely keep you guys updated if it was like, hey, we're moving. Yeah. With that is the 911 unit. So, obviously, the 911 unit was installed when a couple of the Yorkville residents went in to save someone who'd gone over the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of recognizing those young men who, you know, lost their lives trying to save someone else's. Unfortunately, it's just, it's 15 years old. It's getting, it'll go offline. We can't get pieces for it, things of that nature. So we did contact the family to discuss with them about possibly removing this. In the last 6-7 years, it's never even been used. You know, people have cell phones now, times have changed, technology has changed, that we would try to honor them in a different way. With a plaque or something like that, they were very open to that. We haven't finalized anything because I think we would want to recognize not just them, but just everyone that had lost their lives due to the way the dam was. But it is something we would be looking at to removing with this project just because it's just not really something that, it's just, the one thing I don't want to have is if somebody goes to use it, it's not working. And unless we're checking on a regular basis, we sometimes don't even know it's not working. If it goes offline, someone has to check.
Sure, everybody's got a cell phone now.
Yeah, and you can check it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock at night, something happened. That's the last thing I want is someone to go to that and think it's working and there was an issue. So, and then we would be looking to do something different with the drinking fountain. It's pretty old. One of the things around there, kids unfortunately play around. It gets broken quite a bit, things of that nature. We would be looking at different options for that. So I just wanted to bring it here. Any questions? So I'll keep you updated. Like I said, this is something I would definitely want to run to the city council before we started a project of this nature, just so the council knew what's going on.
I want to go back and almost argue against a point I made earlier, that you'd have to cut all those trees down to create an area for concert grounds.
Sure.
Refresh my memory. At Oktoberfest, we had the stage on the parking lot, temporary stage, and people were on the pavement, and then they were back in the woods. And actually, it's kind of cool in a way to be setting up your chairs and your picnic cooler back in the woods. And
the issue, Gene, is so one. So you have that, and the comment station right here. To build something like they have, I mean, obviously you're losing parking spots permanently,
right?
Once you build that out. So you're going to lose a whole row of parking right out of the gate when you build it. The second thing is that we discussed is every event, then you're going to have to lose that whole parking lot because you just can't.
Yeah.
And so the thought was is, yes, we have 2 or 3 big events a year.
Can we acquire more riverfront going upstream?
We don't know that. I mean, those are all discussions you could definitely bring
riverfront
up.
That's golden property, you know.
So I'm just giving you why
I understand.
We talked about not where your Oktoberfest
okay.
was.
All right.
Is that if you had, we do an Easter egg hunt, a Halloween egg hunt, and we decide to use the stage, or we don't want to lose that parking on such a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah. And so that was more of the thought of putting it in there. So I mean, this is just one option. That doesn't mean we couldn't you know, and I go with Scott, look at other options in there where you could potentially build something where you're not removing any trees. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it was more of an open concept that we had been working with them on, so that you could see through, so that there weren't concerts going on, kind
exactly.
of like, but now that
you
can see through,
cold
I mean, obviously we're
right,
trying
exactly.
to get it to blend
concrete,
in with
yeah.
the park as much as possible.
I like that. Whatever happened to that stage you want to have behind the office and all that? Did they want something back there too? The law office there? Did they want that something there?
Oh, the alley.
I mean, there's always been discussions about certain things. So.
Didn't they want that to move it there to their one?
Initially, they had thought about building something there on their own. But then I think when this opportunity with the county came, where there could be some real funds here to do something.
Okay.
And then I think the issue with there is like they're looking at this more of, hey, we're going to help get this up, and then you guys are going to manage this thing and maintain it.
Correct. Okay. Kind of like the design of that.
You know, there's two kind of band shells. There's a band shell that reflects the sound to the people. Those are, you know, uniquely designed to do that. The one in Naperville does that.
Sure.
Okay. We don't have, you know, this open air one is probably
right.
just as.
Yeah. So that's even kind of a better view of it.
Yeah.
Of what
yeah.
it would look
I
like.
That.
So,
okay.
Like
I'm trying to talk myself into having the nature feel and.
Right. And I think we understand
thing.
That. I mean,
and
Scott and I
think there's room
too.
For that.
Yeah.
And
I
need
Scott
some
and I understand.
Professionals who know
we've
how
been
to
working
it.
With them more and
guys
more.
Guys like me.
And so I do think this would blend in, especially depending on the rooftop and we all come to an agreement. I do think it would blend in better than
yep.
this. I get this picture stands out. It's not going to look like that. When
no,
you, when
I mean,
I'm
not, but that gives you a good perspective.
So
good.
But we'll come back. Like I said, this is more keeping you up to date and that type of thing. Any other questions on either one of those?
Nope. Countryside Park update.
So I just wanted to put in there, I mean, and just to give Eric an idea, this is a project we've been working on for a year with the church, where the church is donating land over Countryside for us to put a playground in. Just so everyone understands, like, that subdivision Countryside was built really before the city where land cash even existed. So there's really no playground in there. We had looked at different things, and that's when the church had reached out to us saying, hey, we'd be interested in doing a partnership with you. So they definitely had talked to us about, they're very interested in it. So we kind of, the meat and potatoes is that for the donated land, we would install up to $130,000. That's really going to include a playground and a shelter that they really want for them to be able to use on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We would maintain the playground. There's kind of a gravel little parking area, and I believe I put a picture in, like right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like right here, the gravel, we would pay that, even though a majority of that would be their property. We would want to pave it just for our reasons to help with flooding and things like that, so it's not coming
sure.
into the park site. This is kind of where the proposed park site is. This is not the exact dimensions.
Correct.
It's something that still we would have to work with the church and then a surveyor on to actually go out and plot it. But this is kind of where we would be at, is where we would probably put a playground more off to the side. You would have kind of a shelter in here, and then obviously trash cans, things of that nature.
Now, where are you with these people on that?
Mm-hmm. We're pretty far along. So they.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We know what's happening. They're meeting Sunday.
Yes.
And they might turn it down.
Yeah.
You have to contact whoever you have to contact, because they're going to turn it down. They have a large group of people there. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You have to call them soon, because they're going to lose the vote, and you're going to lose that.
And that's, I can't, I mean,
yeah,
I know they've had listening sessions, they've
had
questions, we've
they
answered them
yeah.
back, so, I mean, we've met with the church leaders on it, we've also spoke to the four or five homes that live right next to it, we definitely talked to the first one here, just to make sure they understood what was going on as we were looking.
But there's been a lot
this.
Of discussion from the older citizens there that are going to vote against it.
Sure.
Because they have some issues with it, and
sure.
so... You have to give the other side some more information to combat some of their...
No, I totally understand.
I mean, really, because the vote is going to be coming, I guess, on Sunday, or one vote from this one section of people, and you're not going to have a part of it anymore.
Sure.
Do
it's
we
probably.
Know what their hesitation is?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to discuss it.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm just trying to... what would be the objection?
I mean, I don't want to speak for any church members.
Of course not.
I don't know.
I'm sure, yeah.
So this is where we're at, obviously.
I think it's a great idea.
This
way, yeah.
It would end, but just I wanted to give everybody an update on where we're at with this.
But we got to work on it, move on it, or you're going to lose that. So we'll not be a part of that.
So, any questions on that? I'll keep you updated.
Please. I mean, because you know we got a call.
Any playgrounds, purchases?
So, as part of the fiscal year 24 approved budget was to purchase two new playgrounds. These are the next two on our list, was Rice and Prestwick. We'll go to Prestwick first, just so everyone knows. Prestwick, the Congregational Church, or the Yorkville Christian High School is over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is our park site that we have. We actually already have parking spots installed.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're looking at putting a playground somewhere here. Some of this is we have to wait till they actually get the park up to development standards, and then Scott and I go look at it to go see what is the best place to put a park so it doesn't get flooded and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Easier access for staff and things. But this is where we go. And then this is kind of the design that Scott and his staff have been working on to install over there.
Nice.
So just to give you an idea, this was money as part of the developer agreement with the city, so they had given the money for us to purchase this playground. So, any questions on that?
That's nice.
What kind of surfacing?
It would just be a safety mulch.
What ages would this be for?
I
can't see where it's for.
Yeah, I think it's
right here in the corner. Right here.
Yes, everyone we have is
and with the chairs and everything we have. That's
good.
Yep.
Thanks.
And then the next one is Rice Park. This one is just on our to replacement list. So this is one that we'd be looking to replace with this kind of design.
Who chose that design? I was just curious.
So, I mean, Scott and then Ryan Horner, who is our kind of our playground guy. I mean, they really work on this. We're
really
cool. Things
the butterfly is so unique.
It looks
nice. Really cool.
It looks nice.
It's really bright. Yeah, it looks neat.
So, and that is new one. So,
what happened to teeter totters? I always used to have those.
Cool.
Remember that?
Those
are one of those things that you spin around on. Remember those things?
Those things.
Remember that? You spin around and you kill it. You throw it off.
Yeah.
Teeter totter, when you're getting the guy jumps off and you swing out. What about the monkey bars? Do they have any monkey bars anymore? Remember the monkey bars?
Or the slide?
The slide with nothing on the side, you fall down, it's hot and everything.
100 years ago, you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm just saying, where are they? They're not around there.
I actually need you guys to vote on this one. If you want to just.
Need a motion to approve this budget for what? $5,000?
$143,547.7.
There you go. $143,547. So I need a motion. Or do we try to vote on it?
A motion.
I make a motion. Motion to move forward with the single source purchase, not to exceed $143,547.7.
Absolutely.
Seconded.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Blaine?
Yes.
Wilberg?
Yeah.
Ayala?
Yes.
Diedrich?
Yes.
And Dumanovic?
Yes.
I will be sending you guys, once we purchase this, we still have three more that we haven't received yet from last year. So we have Sleezer, Kiwanis. Countryside. So those playgrounds, as they come in, those will be first on. We don't expect to get this for 8 months to a year. So we're trying to get ahead so we can start buying these sooner so we can put them in when the weather is a little more appropriate to put these in. On some of these, especially for like a new park like Prestwick, it's very hard to go dig the ground out and pour concrete and cold. So we're trying to get ahead of some of these so we can have them ready to go since it's taken so much longer to get them than we used to in the past.
Bristol Bay Deception.
So, as part of the development agreement with Bristol Bay, there's a park site, and so As you come off into Bristol Bay, there's the Bristol Candle Fire Station right there. This is our park site. This is actually the third park site there. So you have two others. We have the Bristol Bay A, which is right near the HOA clubhouse there, where we have a playground there. And then you have the large sports complex, where this is houses our main soccer. This is our only soccer complex. So. One of the things we're looking at is because with the subdivision, not only do you have a playground here, the school district has two over at the school that are open to the public. And with this being our main kind of soccer hub, and it's just exploding soccer, we would like to remove this field and make that soccer so soccer stays all here. And then put the baseball field here. And then add parking.
Did you put two there?
I don't know about that.
But I was thinking maybe back to that.
And so this is one of the things we wanted to do was it's not a project that'll be done immediately. We've got a lot of playgrounds now with five on our plate. But with homes really starting to go pick up over there, we wanted to get a sign up so people know what's coming soon. So if someone buys a home, they're not taken off guard that they didn't know that this was going to be here, or they kind of know ahead of time. And if there are any concerns, they can come to us before it happens.
Is there a frame of the house?
They're
right on the other side. On the other side, they're moving faster, but they have some right there where they're ready to go. So we wanted to get at least a sign up there so as people bought the homes along here, especially that they know what's coming in and that they're not surprised by anything.
Is that land right there? Is it graded flat right now? As I'm imagining it in my mind,
there's some work we always have to do. Yes.
Right? Huge amount of grading right there. Okay.
And some of that we're going to want because as you dig up the dirt, we're going to use it to put in a ball field. So, this is a long-term project. Another thing that we're definitely recognizing more and more as our athletics grows is we got to have parking. Street parking is very difficult. It upsets residents. It makes it hard on families. You got kids now out in the street. Is that more and more we need to provide adequate parking as we're installing stuff. I mean, even at this place, even though you have the school parking here and this here, it really causes a problem when there's a practice or a game.
Along the houses, the street right there gets parked. Both sides of the street is full of parking.
And so, I mean, it's just...
And that's even, staff actually because of the parking now, on the south side of it. We specifically stagger games just to make sure that we have enough parking just for the amount of games that are going on. So the more parking we have, the more we can jam. That's the strategies.
And then another thing we also are trying to look at as this is we have 1,100 kids in youth baseball, softball, soccer. We also have another 200-300 coaches. Is how are we managing this? And so staffing wise, if we can have something where it's Bridge, it's Beecher, and it's this place, staffing wise, we can handle any kind of emergency occurs, any kind of questions, things like that. If you've got it just spread all over Yorkville, we can't really have staff. There's a problem, they're going 20 minutes south and then coming back. It just makes it very difficult. So this would help, keep everything kind of in our little central location where we're really trying to keep it at Bridge, Bristol Bay, Beecher, so we can manage this all, especially on a Saturday when it is super, super crowded out there.
Was there a concession stand?
At Bristol Bay,
no.
I didn't think so.
No.
Okay. Got it. Are you going to make that parking lot bigger? Taking that baseball field out?
It would be tough. And some of this also is related to a state grant, so there's certain amenities we have to keep. The sledding hill is kind of right here.
Yes.
The issue really is if you go out there, parking lot's never full. The issue is because we have soccer games here, is that they park along here and here. You can easily get in the slot. I come right at the height of it sometimes. People just don't want to walk. So they end up parking in the grass areas along here and here. Which Scott and I we debated is should we just stop it? Because our fear is that, my son's going to walk across here and just get hit, because people aren't paying attention because he's trying to beat me to the car or something.
What about putting a walking path on the other side from the parking lot?
And that could be an option. It does come all the way pretty much, because here you can see the outlines of soccer fields. I mean, it does come all the way down.
The park is,
or if it rains a little bit, you can just watch from the car.
They had a cross country meet, and if you run the whole perimeter of the Bristol Bay Park, the whole perimeter, and then about halfway up the middle, it's like 2.3 miles, whatever, on high school. So it's really far. Mm-hmm. Like, it's longer than you would think.
Sure.
So it's a huge park.
Yeah. So, other questions on that? I do.
We need a vote?
Yes.
So I need a motion to approve this.
I make a motion to move ahead with approval for the Bristol Bay Third Park Site proposal along with the sign at the park site.
I'll second that. That's good.
Lane?
Yes.
Wilberg?
Yes.
Ayala?
Yes.
Diedrich?
Yes.
Dumanovic?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes. You want to play tackle football?
This is, we've been doing this for 5-6 years, so they use Rotary Park basically from the end of July till the middle of November. They pay a rental fee. I mean, in general, it's been a very good partnership with them. You know, it's something where, you know, they're providing a service to the community, and we're just providing the land during these times. So they do pay a fee for us to prep the fields and stuff like that, and we work with them on just anything they may need to make it happen. So they've done a really good job. They communicate with the community as best they can. You know, when it comes to parking, that's one where people park on the streets quite a bit. So we're always working with the HOA over there, trying to alleviate any issues that people have and stuff like that. So overall, it's been a very good partnership.
Any complaints or unresolved stuff, issues?
You know, the first couple of days, there's always a few residents not happy about the parking situation.
Caught by surprise.
You know, yes. So, I mean, we're trying to, I've worked with them of making sure we're notifying the HOA ahead of time. Here's the start date, here's this, here's that, so that, you know, everyone gets informed as soon as possible, knowing that this is coming.
There's room on the street for emergency services.
Yes, I mean, that's built enough, big enough that way.
Okay. Can you
Yes.
Can I get a motion to approve the youth football agreement?
I'll make that motion. Can't see what I'm doing.
I'll second.
Vote, please.
Yes. Wilberg?
Football.
Yes.
Thank you. Ayala?
Yes.
Diedrich?
Yes.
Dumanovic?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
And Lane?
Yes, of course.
And then you have the person right.
Yes, on my end, obviously we moved, so it's been a long time coming, so you know, it did take, I have to say I was extremely impressed with how City Hall set it up. I mean, it was, they did a fabulous job of getting us ready, getting us prepared. Steve Roush, who's now with the City of Oswego, I mean, I think he just did an incredible job of, here's what you got to do. I mean, when moving day came, it was, I mean, by 9:30, 10 o'clock, our truck was loaded, and we were over here by 3 o'clock. We were up and running. And so it went very, very seamlessly. All of our rec track system transferring over went really, really well. I mean, that was a concern I had, is that we were going to be shut down, but they did a great job, IT, of getting it all up and going. So in general, it's been an incredible move. I think staff's much happier. I mean, I think a lot of you saw the other office just being kind of crammed in there, limited windows. It was getting difficult, and especially as we were growing, just to be on top of each other and to have a little bit more space here, have a little bit more storage, that type of thing. It's been a very, very good transition so far. So just excited about that. It's been helpful just seeing us working closer with City Hall.
Absolutely.
Submitting bills, we don't have to drive all the way up to City Hall, getting mail, things like that. It's been a much more efficient process.
What is the old post office building? What do you do that building?
Right now, it's storage. I mean, ideally, I mean, I know they did an RFP.
No one did it.
And so I think the council would be open to any ideal suggestions, that type of thing. So we will see. Right now, they're doing preschool graduation tomorrow there.
Correct.
So, I mean, we are using it for some small programming, that type of thing, and it's going to be a little bit of storage. So that was a big thing. We did order and receive a new park truck, part of this year's budget, mm-hmm. as well as new two park lawnmower. I did email everyone. We finalized the school preschool agreement.
Right.
Even though we had a mutual understanding, we didn't really have a finalized agreement. That got done.
Mm-hmm.
We did have evaluations, and then we did hire Jared Anderson. So we had an open parks position.
Okay.
We did hire him. We talked about working with the county. We stole a county employee to come work for us. So, you know, he started off to be a good employee for us. So I know Shay has some stuff, but we are in now. Special event season starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited. Margaritas and Mile kicks off next Thursday. Jorge is part of the bilingual group, EPAC. They're coming and joining us this year with that. So if weather's good, we expect a great turnout. And then we're kind of rocking and rolling. We really have a lot on our plate. There's a Memorial Day ceremony that Monday. We got like a cruise night the following Wednesday.
I've already talked about this.
So we got a lot of things. June 13th here is the ribbon cutting ceremony. Did everybody get an invitation?
Yeah, good.
I just want to make sure you guys were on there, but you're welcome to come. Hopefully you can come. June 15th.
You don't catch by the hot dog, right?
You can go to the hot dog guy's doing it. So yeah.
So you're not putting ketchup on the hot dog.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know.
So if you can attend, that would be great. June 13th.
Okay. That's all you want.
I know Shane gives some details. You know, preschool. And it was a unique transition this year, going from our own into the school. I don't think we were at all prepared for the amount of high school kids coming in, which is very exciting.
We were prepared, but we just got more than what we anticipated.
It was a great thing. So I think next year, you know, even though it went very, very well, you know, I think we're ready to go for next year already. You know, Shane and I have a good plan ready to go. So. But tomorrow's the last day of that. So, in general, I've been really, really impressed with the whole thing. It seems like it's just a fantastic partnership.
The relationship with the school district is really good. It's getting better.
It's just been a great partnership.
Hope it continues.
Right. I mean, the great thing with it is that, kind of what I was telling Kelly earlier, is we had over 100 high school students come in for observations this year, which is, again, like you said, more than what we anticipated would be there, but it's great to see that they're coming in and utilizing that time like we had hoped. And those two of our kids who did the observations and came in as interns the second semester, so we had them in our classrooms twice a week, and they were absolutely fabulous. I mean, we were very lucky with the two that came in. They just picked everything right up that, and they were so great, we've now hired them for the summer, so they are now going to be teaching summer camps this summer and getting more in, experience there, and then actually one of them decided to come on full-time as an intern all year next year, so she will be one of our actual teachers for Tuesday, Thursday preschool next year. She'll be a senior.
So she can do it.
Yep. So she's in again, and what's so cool is that we're just building on her experience from this year. So this year it was more like hands-on learning how to do circle time, and they actually got some time leading. Next year, she's going to plan an entire month of curriculum, get it prepped.
Is she paid for that, though?
She is not. So that is, she could technically, for this, we're keeping it very internship, school district related. However, if she does extra prep work for us that needs to be done outside of that internship, those we are paying for now that they're part of our payroll. So that's just really neat to see that we've got some really great new staff coming in, helping out in the summer. They're coming out next year. So everything that we were kind of hoping this partnership would be is actually happening, and everyone's been really excited. Pretty much all but one class is full for preschool next year. Ready, Set, Go is full. We have wait lists beyond belief. So all really good things. So we're just kind of planning and making sure that we're ready to go for next year. Athletics exploded this spring. I know we talked about it, but 1,100 kids coming every single Saturday, every week, with games and practices, plus all of our volunteer coaches and families. So
it feels like 1,100 out there.
Right? Yeah, it is just insane. So and we're seeing it in our concession stands. Sales are going crazy there. So overall, it's been really great. I know it's busy for Jake and Michael, but they're handling everything really well and continuing to plan for the fall. As Tim said, we're hitting special events season now. So not only do we have 1,100 kids in all of our sports, preschool ending, but now we're doing special events. We do have a new event coming up on June 7th. It's our school's out beach party. I'm literally turning Town Square Park into a beach. And we have a blow-up wave, right? Like a surfboard that you guys can try. We'll be having a bubble party for the kids. And actually, this one, we're kind of making it very fun with all the cocktails for the parents, but then we're also getting some fun mocktails and fun things for the kids as well as they celebrate the end of the school year. So definitely come out and join us for that. Really, we have kind of a big summer, and I've been working with Caitlin. She's been great. She's our new marketing coordinator and sponsorships. This has just helped me so much in getting really fresh graphics and descriptions for all these events, as well as securing sponsorships. We already have multiple sponsorships that she's secured all the way through hometown days and even holiday celebration. Most of our main large sponsorships have been secured, which is just thousands of dollars that is helping us support and keeping these free of cost, if not very minimal, for our community to participate. So all really great things. Everyone's super busy, but when we're busy, it means we're doing everything right. So
good job. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Oh, I've got a question on the pickleball thing. I'm bringing this up. I go past there all the time. It's always jammed.
Is it busy?
It's always jammed. And I've talked to people that they love it. They're waiting in line. Is there any possibilities, we said, in the future to build one more on the south side, you were saying?
There's always a possibility, Dan.
But as you know, it's becoming worldwide now. You see it on television. You see it. You know, I mean, really, they're waiting over there. I went over after the lunch.
Yeah.
You go, they're waiting in line. The people out there waiting in line.
So Dan, why don't we go to the school board and say, hey, can we take YMS's tennis courts?
They'll never do that.
Why? They're not being used in the summer.
I don't know.
And line them for pickleball.
You could do that, yes.
And then there you go.
Well, that's I will say one thing Scott and I have talked about is, can we do that with the tennis courts in the Rain Tree?
Yeah.
Redesign them where they can be used for both. Correct. We do have staff looking into it.
I'm just letting you know. Right? It's such a positive thing out there. Among a certain age group, of course.
Yes.
But again, when I was out there last week, there were younger kids playing out there. There were kids
It's great to hear.
They're teens and their 20s playing.
It's great to hear. So, I mean, no, it's definitely...
And it looks nice, too.
Yes.
It looks very nice.
Do we offer pickleball classes?
We have not yet.
So I thought about having a pickleball league during the day for people that are retired, and then maybe do a pickleball league at night or on Saturdays.
We've only got two courts, though, so sometimes it can be a little
but
harder.
But if you can get like YMS or Rain Tree, then you have, what, four?
That's
two?
And there's two actual tennis courts, and then it would probably be four, maybe something cut in half, be around there.
We are looking at it.
I'm just saying, once you get it going, there's a
situation. We are definitely looking at it.
Okay, thank you. I'm just wondering. Yes. Not that I'm pushing, I just think it's... I have to get an eye on it.
That's good to hear
people are using it.
Oh my God, every time I go past it.
A good addition.
And I'll go there like two or three times a week because I'm just going out. Oh, I'm going to go. It's not that far. Always somebody else.
Good. It's good to hear.
Last time there were two courts being used and there were people waiting.
Good.
So that's
good. Good to hear. Okay.
Additional business?
Yeah. Any comments from the citizens?
Anything else? I think that the Rain Tree would be a good place for the pickleball. We live in Rain Tree. and right now, those tennis courts are Onyx's, our dog. It's Onyx's, one of his dog parks.
Anything else, anybody?
No, I'm good. The program guide looks fantastic.
Oh, I forgot to announce that. Brand new since
the
COVID.
Program guide?
The brochure? We had stopped in 2020 doing a program guide. Now that we're kind of back into a post-COVID world and doing different things, we brought that on. It was digital only, but I think, did you guys like the interactive portion of it?
Great.
Yeah, so that was a really cool feature with that you could go onto it and click on any program that you wanted, and it actually brought you right to how you register on a registration site. So like even for me, instead of trying to search it, I just clicked on it and I could get all my kids' camp. So I know as a parent, I loved it. and it was just a really great way to get it out. And Caitlin designed, so we designed that all in-house. So that saved us thousands of dollars of doing that.
Yeah.
And we got to kind of put our own flair to it too, so which was really fun. So we will start actually having that be three times a year again. We'll have our summer, our fall, and our winter spring. So
how much did we save not sending out those catalogs?
$45,000 a year.
So I mean,
where the big savings is, obviously, we would spend about $3,000 just having them make it for us.
Right.
So having Caitlin, I mean, that's almost $10,000 a year right there that she saves us by not having to make it. I think one thing we learned during the pandemic, and we discussed it here before, was, I mean, we never saw a dip in anything when we eliminated the catalog.
Right.
Just because of the expense. And when the pandemic first started, we're like, we need to save money in case
events. We didn't even plan that part.
We never had any issues. We never had any problems. So, I mean, Shay and I have been debating. The first step was, okay, now that we got Caitlin on board, let's create it in-house first and see if we can do it. Go online, see how that works. And it's been pretty successful. Mm-hmm. So, I think it would be a debate we continue to have. Is it worth putting
generation.
Out there or not?
It's the new generation. That's what they're looking for. Yeah.
Well, we've talked about even just doing maybe, if we were doing a mailing, like just a postcard with like a QR code that just says, summer catalog now here, scan the QR code to online. That would still save us a lot of money, but at this point.
Is it necessary? It's not necessary.
It might not be necessary.
And a lot of park districts got rid of it.
Sure.
You know, because of the expense and the time putting it together and stuff like that. A lot of places have just gone virtual.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the new generation?
So
everybody's don't do anything to look on. Look up here. Look on here. Shop online. Dude. Everything's on here. So you, that's the thing.
So no, it's been
you're
great.
Going to the people.
And, yeah, I will admit, even myself, I signed my son up for some stuff at Wheaton, and I was really upset that I couldn't click on it, write the number down, then go to the registration and put it in. Where I was like, I cannot believe they don't do this.
Well, especially your age, I'm surprised.
You're
you
ahead of the time.
Yeah, so it was very nice on NARS to click, go right to registration. Yep, exactly. Like, it was very frustrating the other way.
Nina and Ella are in it, you know,
checking it out
at the preschool. No,
they're in the picture.
It's always so fun. Well, if you look, the staff joke is how many times my children show up in the catalog and online as well, because I'm the one, I always take pictures, and I'm like, well, I'm signing off on that, so.
Looks great.
But yeah, it's so fun. So yeah, Caitlin did such a great job of it. I couldn't, you know. I mean, that was probably about a month and a half long, pretty focused project for her just to make sure that we're getting everything and everything's accurate. And then Steve was actually the one who went in and made that all interactive online as well. So it was a good team effort across the board.
Pass on our compliments.
I will, definitely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
It's a nice blend of stock photos and actual, you know, program photos.
And that's the beauty, too. Caitlin has really is dedicating the next year here of coming out to about as everything as we can, just so that we are getting more of our own pictures of Yorkville, of our kids participating, just to make it more personalized instead of having to use, you know, stock photos. But stock is always nice, especially for sports. Sports are a little hard just from image quality.
That's it. I need a motion to adjourn.
One quick observation. I've got three grandkids that play traveling ball, so I'm out four or five times a week, everywhere from the Wisconsin border to the Iowa border. In fact, we're going to Iowa this weekend. And I tell you, we should be very proud of our facilities. I mean, the sports fields, the concession stands, the restrooms, parking, ours compare very favorably with dozens that I've seen in this year. So it's a feeling of pride that I have when I go around.
So we try to do a lot of tournaments. So like Father's Day, we'll probably have 60 teams here from 12U to 18U for softball. And we promote businesses like in Anise's or wherever, or stay at this hotel. So when we have them register online for our internal online stuff.
Is this the Foxes?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got a grandson on that team. They're going to Iowa this weekend, am I thinking right?
The boys, probably.
Boys,
yeah.
Maybe so, about third, fourth grader?
Yeah, so I was in Iowa last weekend in Davenport for girls. But we try to have these big events, like 4th of July, we'll have another one, to try to bring people into the town and showcase Rich and showcase Meacher. Because we're proud of them too, and that's why we want to have more.
Yep.
And then it brings in people from out of town to see our town.
Yep.
So that really, we do, I think, a pretty good job promoting that. And then Parks and Rec helps us with, you know, certain things like extra garbage cans and stuff like that. And I just ordered 6 more porta potties for Father's Day weekend in Washington stations, because that's the worst thing, is go to the tournament and there's no bathroom, especially for the females, because, you know, they want a nice, clean bathroom.
Oh, so, absolutely. So anyway. Kudos to you guys.
Ken had something. Just two FYIs, the school district purchased the old city hall, so they're remodeling it as we speak.
Well, 700,000, wasn't it?
Huh?
700,000?
Yeah. And you're going to see some equipment, because they're going to start doing the turf football field.
That's correct.
So there's going to start, I think, Tim.
I sent an email.
Okay, 6 and 7 will be
right. Yeah, I sent an email. Did everybody get that with the picture? And, so two of the fields we're going to lose for a little while they replace all that, and it'll probably be we'll have to see how it all plays out for hometown days. Usually we have parking right there. I don't know if that'll be available to us or not. The project will be done. I just don't know what condition that area is going to be in when I get out of there. Anything else, anybody?
Oh, yes. Can I get a motion to adjourn the
meeting? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.